Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is Barn Goddess Barbecue and More. I'm your host, Lori Frazee. I hope you guys had a great 4th of July weekend. It was safe and happy and got to spend time in front of a grill or a smoker, whichever your choice of poison may be. I'd like to also start off by thanking my guest from last week. I had Sherry Williams on, and Sherry is one of the contestants on American Grilled, and she's actually on my episode airing August 6th, but she was also the Macy's Grillin' Guru that won $10,000 in New York City a couple weeks ago, so I was really happy to have her on. And then also had Steve Staley on with Steve Services, so interesting show last week. If you missed it, you can always check them out in archives. You know, I went back because I had to find an episode for somebody to look at, and it was pretty far back, like over a year ago, and you know, you start looking at them and you get shocked how many people has listened to them over the time. So, again, you know, I'd like to thank the listeners out there. And if you have a product or an event that you'd like to promote, if you're a foodie of sorts and you want to talk about something, private message me either on Facebook or you can always email me on my personal email, Lori@BarnGoddessBBQ.com, and let me know, and we'll get a chance to chat beforehand, because I do like to usually chat with my guests prior to that. I'd also like to thank Chris Chadwick. Last Wednesday night, he, in an effort to help promote the new show American Grilled, the Travel Channel Original Media's casting director, Brian Small, he reached out to Chris and had, you know, Chris actually had Sherry from Sherry Williams from my episode, as well as Daniel Waters, who was also on my episode, but then also had Bill Smith, who was airing right after we chatted. So it was kind of a free-for-all, and we really had a nice time on there. And, you know, and his name is Will Smith, but it's not the Will Smith from acting. So if you haven't seen the show, check it out, because there's actually a way to watch it. There's lots of links online right now because everybody's pretty excited about the show. And then on Thursday, Nation X, John Reeves actually had Sherry and somebody else on, but I was glancing, and if you were on my Facebook page at all today, I have been in computer hell. I would just advise you, if you keep getting an update warning, to go to 8.1 and you haven't done so yet, hold out as long as you can. It has ruined the one computer. And fortunately, Daniel Waters, who is the kid from my, I call him a kid, well, he's probably 30, the kid from my episode, he's a computer man, and he's helped me out. And hopefully tomorrow I'll have a chance to correct it, no thanks to Microsoft. So there's my rant for the night. Anyway, so if you haven't had your fill of barbecuing and grilling, it's kind of your own fault, because there's plenty of stuff out there right now between, you know, the barbecue pitmasters. You got DivaQ's Barbecue Crawl back on the Travel Channel. There's all kinds of food shows right now. So and pretty much the food shows in the summer have a lot to do with grilling and family parties. So it's good, and there's lots of information out there. Also, if you haven't taken a look at Barbecue America magazine, they're doing a great job. They've had two issues come out. A third one's coming out. I actually have a recipe in the second one. Hope that they've asked me for another little recipe contribution. Hopefully it makes it in the third one, but I would love to be doing that every month. I think they're doing a good job, and it fits a niche out there. I mean, let's face it, we enjoy in the competition circuit, we enjoy getting the Bull Sheet and the National Barbecue News and the Barbecue Times, but You know, that isn't generally something the public can get. And this, you know, it was kind of exciting to see it in Publix. And my dad said, isn't that the magazine that you got something in? You know, like it was huge. But for me, I was very excited to help them out. If you're down in Florida, just, you know, we're down in barbecue competition this week again, so it's a weekend off. You know, it's kind of weird because that's like 2 weeks in a row, so I'm sure Matt Barber and Jim Helzer are very excited about that. I'm kind of bored out of my skull. Even though it was a holiday weekend, it wasn't a normal holiday for us, so I didn't do the normal things. I did get to cook, of course, but, it's strange when you're kind of getting in the swing. So these guys that go out every weekend, I can only imagine. But there's tons of stuff going on across the nation. In the Northeast, there's some contests. In the mid-section of the states, there are tons of contests right now, and you can check those out on KCBS. And actually, Lubbock, Texas is coming up in August, and I'll be out there with Barbecue Superstars covering it, and all the gang from Barbecue Superstars will be out there. And then I'll be at Hobbs a couple of weeks after that to help cover that event. And that's at Hobbs, New Mexico, is actually an FBA-sanctioned event. So we're really excited to get something out of the state of Florida and see that the Florida love is growing out there. So looking forward to that. Also want to thank my sponsors. You know, without them, I would not have the product I have and the ability to do the contest I do. I mean, we all know sponsors are so important. Everybody needs money sponsors, but, you know, product sponsors are huge. And I'd like to thank Mac Daddy Smokers. And, again, if you haven't seen my smoker and you're at a contest, please feel free to come by and take a look. If I'm cooking, just like I say any other week, if I'm cooking, just give me time enough to get the meat off of there, and then, hey, have at it. I'll show you everything I know about it, and you'll be a lover, too. And the same thing with the Rec-Tec. I've got a Rec-Tec pellet cooker, super happy with it, and it's part of my arsenal. You're welcome to come by and take a look at that, as well as the Sweet Smoke Q juice can. I've got a drum, and, you know, it's kind of funny. People will notice the Rec-Tec because of the bull horns, and they notice the Pit Viper from Mac Daddy because of the shape. It's very different. But they notice the drum because I'm a girl. And, you know, people will stop, especially spectators, and they'll go, oh, you're a girl. It's like, really, man? So, you know, if you want to take a look at Jim's cooker and you're at an event and I'm there, please feel free to come by and take a look at that. I really appreciate what they've done, and if I can help you make a decision on a purchase, then come on by my booth or campsite and take a look. Also, cookandpellets.com, I use their Perfect Blend. Love it. It's actually calibrated for the Rec-Tec, so it's really slow burning. There's no filler in it. It's super great. I'm in love with it. Royal Oak, I use both their charcoal and their lump charcoal, as well as their briquettes. And then, of course, Pirate 50. If you haven't seen my sign, go to my webpage or Dale's. I have a beautiful sign that shows up at campsites. And then Sweet Smoke Q. I've talked about the juice can, but, you know, he's getting notoriety across the U.S. for his Sweet Smoke juice, the pork injection. And we'll be talking with him later because he's got new stuff coming out. So I'm going to go to my first guest right now. And Scott, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. We've got Scott Galt with us, and he is The Sauce Company, Inc. So, you know, Scott, how long you been doing this? Because there's a little deception in there.
Okay. I started creating my own barbecue sauce at the age of 16.
Oh,
and
wow.
It took me 10 years to perfect it, and... Of course, I'm 57 today. And
oh, happy birthday.
Well, I'm at, no, I, my age right now. Stone Mountain Park, in close to Atlanta, Georgia, had a barbecue cook-off back in 1984. And my wife and I, we went and participated in it. And we started just getting really great results. And so... 1989, we decided to put the sauce on the market, and We took it to gift shops, gourmet shops, specialty food stores, and it just wasn't quite turning the corner as quick as we needed to, and so we just kept moving toward the grocery stores.
Right, right.
Well, we got to the grocery stores. The distributor said, we need to do an introductory offer. Let the stores buy a case, and we'll give them a case. And that was kind of, they were holding my feet to the fire on that. Well, they had 600 stores. We were a small player, and it was more than we could afford.
Yeah.
So I circumvented them and went straight to the grocery stores, and the grocery store says, sure, love to have it, but you got to pay us slotting fees. And so, long story short, we, in 94, we shut the business down. We just couldn't afford to pay to play.
Right.
And my son, 5 years ago, started pushing me. I said, Dad, let's do it again. He says, we got the internet, and there's so many meat markets available today, and there's places we can go. Let's try it again. So I'm the type, I start looking into trends and things that are happening, and we started prepping to do it. I was thinking I was going to make it myself. Ended up, I'm going to use a contract packer.
Right.
But we decided to take the high fructose out of it. That, of course, I was working a lot of hours on my regular job, and that took 2 years to do. Last September, I took a week off of work. I'd read books and recipes on ketchup, and I created a ketchup and then built my sauce into that ketchup, and it worked. We use light brown sugar as a sweetener.
Right.
And it's it is very, very similar to what we made before. The quality's there. We have no preservatives, no additives. It's just all natural and no high fructose, no MSG. But it was a lot of work. And
yeah, people,
of course,
don't realize the difference. And let me just ask you, Scott, do you think that in 94 when you were starting to hit it, do you think it was because barbecue obviously was not what it is now? I mean, we have trained a potload of people to experiment with sauces out there. Do you think that had something to do with it too?
Right, yeah. It wasn't near as huge as it was now. I kind of like to think we kind of ABC News did a show on slotting fees, and I think we kind of burn a trail there. I think some of the grocery stores today will let small players in without slotting fees. But back then it was you pay or no play.
Yeah. Now, you basically mentioning about doing your own ketchup, now that explains to me, because you actually have a gourmet ketchup that you sell, correct? Or you're getting, go take from where you're at, because I was looking at your Facebook page today on that. So you're back in the business, and what are you doing?
Well, right now I'm sending label proofs back and forth to the label printer, and we got just a few minor changes. I'm thinking all the labels will be fully proofed tomorrow. They need 5 to 10 days to get it on the press. The co-packer said once they have labels in hand, it will take 5 days to 2 weeks to put us in their production run. So I'm thinking sometimes early August we're going to have product for sale.
Yeah, you're probably right in there. And are you going to do all of your product line at one time? Because I see that you basically have 5 sauces, correct?
That's correct. We're going to they'll all come out at the same time.
That's great. And what's your plan for distribution at this point? Because you're just in Lilburn, just outside of Atlanta?
Correct, Lilburn, Georgia.
Okay.
We have found through, when I did it years ago, it took 9 months to go from the stove to a bottle using the Yellow Pages. And today I was able to go out and search through Google. I found 91 stores in the Atlanta area that are potential customers.
Wow.
And they're meat markets, specialty markets, farmers markets. there is a plethora of opportunity out there to go and sell our stuff at. And so we have set up accounts with UPS. We have our barcodes. We have everything is in place, and we'll go out and start banging on doors. We've set up commission schedules for people to go sell, and so we're excited.
Yeah, and, I mean, basically, life has changed since 94. It's kind of funny when you think about that. In 94, you know, I was carrying around the big bag phone, and you know, now, and nobody had a phone at that time. So, and now...
Right.
Everybody has one or two. You know, I was talking to Daniel today, and he's talking about his multiple phones. I mean, I'd be crazy if I had that many. So life has definitely changed there. Where is your co-packer? Is it in the state of Georgia?
It is definitely in the state of Georgia. They have high rankings, you know, and, you know, they helped us with our nutrition statements.
Yeah.
We've already made the test runs, and everything is set. The hammer's cocked. We're just waiting on labels at this point.
And what kind of sizes and what kind of price points are you kind of looking at?
We're going to be 16 fluid ounces. It'll be about 19, almost 20 ounces net weight. And price point is going to be $649 retail.
$649. And that's for all of yours. And why don't you tell us what? So that everybody knows, I just happened to look at your page.
Our original sauce is called Georgia's Gourmet Barbecue Sauce. It's a sour, tangy, sweet, buttery, slightly smoked sauce. We have a hot version of that. We've got a what I call a sassy vinegar sauce that has got just a four or five layers of flavor there. We have a hot version of it. And then, of course, we've got our gourmet tomato ketchup. And it's the co-packer was more interested in the ketchup than they were the barbecue sauce. They was like, hey, finally a ketchup that's not Heinz and Hunt's that tastes good.
Wow, that's kind of interesting because it isn't something you see very often, and you can always tell when a restaurant has a homemade ketchup because it's usually so different and so enjoyable. So I'd be anxious to see that. How did you end up, I mean, you were doing this at 16. Did you start working on the ketchup? Is that what started it?
No. My original recipe, I used ketchup as a base.
You used ketchup
as a base. When I was trying, yes, and when I was trying to take the high fructose out of it, I was just taking my when we made the sauce back in the early 90s, we broke down a ketchup recipe, and but we had a spice packet that came from a spice distributor, and they wouldn't tell us what was in it. Well, we were kind of tied to them, and so as I was struggling to get the high fructose out, I was trying to do the whole package at one time, and then it just kind of come to my mind, let's go to basics and start this thing from the beginning. And I was looking at my old recipes, and there stood ketchup just kind of jumped off the page, and I was like, okay, I need to just start with a ketchup and then add everything to it like I did before. And so I read recipes. There is actually books on ketchup.
Yeah, there is.
And there and I read them, and I did my homework, and I had all these various spices that they used, and I had seven or eight versions of spices, and I took a week off, and I would take a little 12-ounce can of tomato paste, and I used scales, and I would weigh out equal out of that 12-ounce can and make two batches at a time. I'd sit there with two whisks, stirring two, and I made batch after batch after batch after batch. And, boy, this one particular one had, it just hit. But there was one thing, you know, it's like I was using dark brown sugar. I went to light brown sugar. That helped. There was some spices that's in every recipe that people say you need to use, and I realized I didn't need that, and I took that out, it was just trial and error, and all of a sudden I feel like I hit the ball out of the park with this catcher.
Yeah, because sometimes when people don't realize that the brown sugar still has more molasses in it, and that's the flavor changer of the brown sugar, and a lot of people don't realize that. So they, you know, instead of light brown sugar, they go, oh, I'll just use the dark, and it'll be just fine. It changes everything, including in rubs. Cause
even in your sauces.
Oh, yeah.
My original recipe had butter in it, and we went to a corn oil, and we had fresh garlic in it, and we went to dehydrated garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is we don't want our product to go rancid.
Right.
And so we went to peanut oil versus canola oil versus corn oil. There's even differences in those oils that can change things.
Oh, sure. Did you take out the high fructose because of the request from the public? Is that why you decided to do that? Or stabilization?
I just, you know, I look at Food Processing Magazine and Food Business News and those type of periodicals, and things are trending that way. There
sure.
is scientific data that there is no difference between high fructose
right.
and white sugar.
Right.
But
sugar
it's
is
perception.
Sugar. Right.
Yeah. It's perception.
And is reality.
Yeah.
Yeah, perception
so
is reality.
We went ahead
yeah.
and did this. This is a nice selling point.
Yeah, and I'm guessing all of yours, unless you have something in there, I'd be surprised at, they're all gluten-free. I mean, is that part of your labeling too?
Absolutely, gluten-free.
Yeah.
Gluten-free, MSG-free, high fructose-free. You know, and a lot of people use xanthan gum in their sauces. I
oh,
thicken
right.
mine with tomato paste.
Yeah, yeah. I forget about that because is a gluten, isn't it?
That I can't answer, but I do know it's a derivative of a fructose.
Well, then it's not a gluten. Yeah, I forget what they are sometimes when you get into the gums because I think there's some kind of gum made from a wheat, which would be gluten.
Well, you know, years ago my mother would thicken up gravy with cornstarch.
Sure.
And that's what xanthan gum and gar gum does for you. It's a thickening agent. There's really, I don't think there's anything wrong with them, but it just kind of makes it look like jelly to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, your vinegar sauce, that's one of my favorites is a vinegar sauce at home. I really enjoy them. But you actually have a hot version of that.
That's correct. Yeah, we use lime juice in it, and of course we use Liam Perrins Worcestershire, and several layers of spices in there, and you can taste it coming at you six different ways, and it's just a real smooth blend. And just as you think you're tasting one thing, you hit another note hits your tongue, and then another. It's very delightful.
Well, now, you did used to compete. Are you getting back into that as you start promoting the sauces?
Well, when the sauce company is up and running and making a profit, we will use that as a marketing tool.
Yeah.
I got a box full of trophies from 84 to 94, but I really enjoy making money doing what I love. And the competition was very expensive. The last one I did was in 2009, and time I bought the meat and everything, the beer and all this stuff, I spent close to $1,000.
Yep, that's the problem with it.
Yeah, and they want to give me a $500 check or a $250 check. Well, like I said, I've got a box full of trophies. I want to make money at doing my passion.
Yeah. And is your son actually, is he working the business with you?
My son has a landscaping business, and he has a few days within the month that he can devote to this, and he's going to go out and actually help me bang on doors and bring in customers. And I hope that at some point he will be a full-time employee.
Yeah. You know, you're lucky that you're in that Atlanta area. I have a girlfriend that lives outside of Atlanta in Douglasville, and when I get up there, I mean, I make her go to every little specialty meat store and food store and all that. I mean, we literally, that's what we do the whole time I'm there. When she comes here, we antique, but there's probably more than the 91 you found if you, you know, spread out. You're in such a great area to be able to do that.
We have been blessed.
Yeah.
And if you go over across North Georgia, there's all these mom-and-pop shops. They sell apple butter. They sell, knickknacks and what have you. My intention is to get into every one of those places.
Absolutely. And
we'll hit Savannah. We'll hit the 75 corridor going down to Florida. And my feeling is I need to build a very good, strong foundation at home.
Yep, absolutely. And if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, and we realize that they're not on the market, but they're getting ready to be released, but if they want to get a hold of you, where would you prefer them to go?
Come to my Facebook page.
Your personal one?
They can come to my personal one. That's just fine. Because if you'd like to talk barbecue, you're a friend of mine. Or they can come to the sauce company. I'm going to do my best to try to answer every reply, and we're going to watch that closely because everybody deserves an answer.
Absolutely.
It might take me some time to get to them, but I have the fullest intentions of answering everything.
Well, I saw that your Facebook page for the sauce company is up. I know that, you know, you already got 100 and some likes, and you're not even actually to market yet, so you're already working that. Anything you want to leave us with tonight?
Just people, this is something that everybody's enjoying. There's 73% of the household in America has some form of grill. It's becoming our passion. I have found out through my research that Europe and China or Asia is starting to import the American barbecue cuisine just like we have imported their cuisines.
Yep.
And I'm saying, hey, everybody, let's rise up and rock and roll. Go United States.
Well, I appreciate it because, you know, we've had a couple people on in the last few weeks on how you can make money doing what you love. And, you know, we all love barbecue and grilling and, you know, but everybody does think that their sauce is the best. And it really does take a lot of money and effort to take something to market. So
I learned that barbecue changes from county to, or barbecue sauce especially changes from county to county. And everybody thinks theirs the best, and I learned to respect that. But I do enjoy all these different sauces. I've got shelves full of it.
Yeah, we all do, Scott. Isn't that funny? I have four refrigerators, but one of my refrigerators is just sauces and brines and marinades. It's, of course, super glue for my woodworking. But it's ridiculous what we do with our sauces, trying every one of them. But good luck to you. When you get something going and you want us to do a little announcement, don't hesitate to call me.
I certainly will stay in touch with you. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure, Scott. Thank you so much. Good luck, buddy.
You have a good night. Thanks.
You too. Thanks
Bye-bye.
A lot. That is Scott Galt with The Sauce Company. You can check him out on Facebook his personal page, Scott Galt, G-A-L-T, or The Sauce Company, Inc. And I'm going to go right to my next guest, and this should be Will Smith, not the actor. Will, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, everything's good. Can you hear me fine, though?
You sound lovely. So
That'll
you
work.
Are the self-proclaimed refined redneck.
Oh, my God. I knew that was going to catch up with me.
Well, I mean, really, man. You know, I got to thinking about that, and I realized we didn't bust your chops about it No, because you hadn't said it yet, but nobody has said that to you because I'm like, well, I'm a refined redneck, and I'm like, yeah, buddy, you are.
Yep. And that just came out of the blue because during the interview process, they're like, oh, you know, you seen country in every town mall. I said, well, I'm a refined redneck.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, explain. And so I had to set the status for refined redneck.
Yeah, and I don't want to just skip right into this, but we've got Will Smith with us, and he was on the first episode of American Grilled. And what I'm going to try and do in the next several weeks as the show progresses is there'll be a show on tomorrow, and then I hope to at least get a couple of the guys and gals on next week to talk about their episodes, much like I did with Barbecue Pitmaster. So Will and Tiny are going to be with us tonight. I did invite all the boys, and I was declined by two, just to, you know, say straight out. But Will has been gracious enough to be with us. Now, you actually just moved from North Carolina to Chattanooga, right?
Correct.
Were you living in North Carolina when it actually filmed, though?
When it actually filmed, I was in the process. I had just left North Carolina.
You were just leaving.
And,
wow.
Yeah, I was just leaving.
Yeah, so, but it was great that you could be on there. You guys, it really looked like that park was a beautiful location. How was the setting overall?
Oh, Pack Square Park is a little, small, itty-bitty park right in the middle of downtown Asheville. And if you don't know it's there, you're going to drive right by it. I mean, it's like two city blocks big, and that's it. It's long and slender and has a bunch of staircases in it. But they hold little art festivals, little music gatherings there and stuff like that. And I'd been there several times when I was a kid, and it was funny. They were like, I was like, well, where are we filming at? You know, we have to take a van to the setup site.
Oh, right, right.
And they're like, oh, we're filming in Pack Square Park. I'm like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, oh, my God, my kid, you know, I used to go down here when I was a kid. So it was kind of nostalgic for me, so to speak.
Aw. Now, was that park set up where there's parking all the way around it, like in a city block? Is that how
it's
set up?
Yeah, actually, there's parking all the way around. And right across the street, there's this firehouse. And every time that a fire truck ran off, or sounded off, we had to stop taping. So all day long, it's like, oh, stop. And they would stop until the point where you couldn't even hear the siren anymore. If you heard any part of the siren in the background, they would stop the taping until it was totally gone.
Yeah, so did you guys, because this is something that, you know, maybe somebody else might not know to ask you, only because I did it too. So did
right.
you guys have incidences where they had to stop you at all and stop the clock?
As in the actual time clock?
Yeah.
When they told us to stop, you know, when they were set times up, all of us would throw our hands up, and we
right.
didn't have any, yeah, we didn't even have incidences where, but they would say in the background, one of the judges would yell out time or something like that to go just for editing purposes and stuff like that.
Okay. See, I didn't know maybe because of the firehouse, if you guys actually had to stop in the middle of cooking and, like, cut 5 minutes out or something.
I don't remember if we might have because, I mean,
you would remember.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really remember in my part of the show, you know, that I was on. But in Tiny's part, you know, in the final round, they might have to do that.
Well, we'll get with him on that. Now, so you were in the first round, and you guys had bison and the Ellington goat cheese. So
the stinkiest goat cheese known to man.
You know, I don't know why, but I actually like that goat cheese. And
I'm not a big fan of it for some reason. I don't know why.
But I loved what you did with it.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, that's the only thing that came to mind. I was, you know, looking around while everybody, when they announced the bison and the goat cheese, and when we got got to start prepping and everything and cooking, it was like, I see what they're doing, I see what they're doing. And I just wanted to go for, like, you hear of a strip steak all the time with a blue cheese crust on it or something like that. I was like, well, let's make a play off that and see what happens. So
Now, the one thing that I did think that was interesting is, well, and I guess that's really a tiny comment, because obviously in the first round, David let you guys know he liked his meat rare, which
right.
is kind of wild. Now, the first round was the, and I don't know how many of these there will be, but in chopped competitions and everything else, the basket ingredients are very important. So the first round was actually very controversial, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was only two items, and that was it. And, you know, it was two dice. You know, here's your two items. Go for it, so to speak. And the way we played them off of each other, it was like, well, they go together, but they don't go together, per se.
Yeah. And one of the contestants actually didn't get his cheese on the plate, on any of the plates.
Yeah, one of the contestants didn't get their cheese on any of the plates whatsoever and still got passed through. But it was, in the controversy of that, it was per the judge's discretion as well, so to speak. And, one of the other contestants, you know, when he got cut from that first round, they basically said that, you know, he played it too simple, per se. But the flavors came through on the one person that didn't put no cheese on anything, and he got passed through.
Well, and we'll just say, you know, it was Jeff didn't have the cheese. Dylan went down in flames, as David would say.
Yeah.
But the judges didn't do that lightly, did they? Because
No. There
has been a lot of people that know I'm on the show, when I see them, they're like, well, what do you think about that? And so can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that kind of needs to be talked about.
I honestly, personally, as a competitor, was amazed that they let Jeff go on through.
Me too.
Because the rules completely state that, you know, you got to have everything on the plate. And when they said that Dylan's going home, I mean, I think they pretty much edited my face out. Because I was like, I mean, I had a ghost look on my face of like, are you kidding me? And then you see Tiny do the little icing. Like,
yeah, he did.
And then, you know, Dylan gets cut and Jeff's doing the happy dance, per se. And, I mean, all three competitors that was with me, they're great guys. They all have great, great talent. But, you know, when it come down to the rules, it was like, and it was per the judge's discretion, I was like, okay, we're in for a battle. I mean, we've set a precedent here, and
right.
Let's see what happens.
Well, and you're a barbecue competitor, and, you know, I've talked about the deadly clock, because I was actually at a charity event where somebody was late turning their food in. They accepted it, and they actually let them win a category. And let me tell you, barbecue people don't sit kindly to that. You know,
No, we don't.
Second late, and it's the same for everybody. That's what makes it really good. So I can imagine that that's probably, and Dylan, too, being a competitor with his dad, I'm guessing that that's one of the things that always hits our head, I think, when you talk about rules, because 1 second is 1 second. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, regardless. It was, you know, that's why Dylan and I looked at each other, and they pretty much edited my face off when it was like, are you kidding me? You know, this guy should be cut, but you know, it was the judge's discretion. And
absolutely.
We couldn't really battle it.
Now, let me ask you this, because I told you, I've watched the thing. Today I watched it a third time because, you know, I take notes, and so I can ask you questions. But I did see in that first round, Dylan did put 6 appetizers on 1 plate, but that's not the way it played out. And it shows it. I don't know if you recognized it or not, but it does show that.
Right.
But
yeah,
that's not what he turned
too.
In.
Well, what happened before the editing? I mean, editing in TV is like the magic dust, so to speak. They show him doing the 6 appetizers on 1 plate, and then all of a sudden it goes to show, you know, his presentations. But what they don't show in there is the judges yelling at Dylan saying, you have to have 4 different appetizers for presentation. So it, to me, it would have been better if they would have had that in there as well to show the little, to make it a little bit more dramatic, so to speak.
Well, do you think that that's part of another reason that the judges made that decision on putting Jeff through? I mean, obviously, and I don't know if you saw Jeff's Facebook page, I'm sure you did, where they showed Dylan's throat and it said Jeff had the, you know, did have the
meat.
Yeah,
I've seen it.
Okay, so I'm sure everybody's seen it, which was hilarious. But, you know, they said that they felt like it was the best meat of the round. But do you think that that 6 appetizer, them having to, like, and I know they didn't show any of that, so I don't know what they did, but I'm guessing they instructed him over you guys to put them on different plates, or?
Yeah, they did. They were saying, you know, whoa, you got to have 1 appetizer per plate, you know, 3 for the judges, and then 1 for your presentation for TV, basically. And it doesn't show him scrambling, but he went to go scramble to get more plates and get everything on regular, normal plate size instead of presenting it all on 1 plate.
So he, but did he make the time?
Yeah, he actually did make the time.
Wow.
And, yeah, he actually did make the time. He came within like 2 seconds, but he did make the time. All of us in the first round made the time, and then you see Jeff saying, oh, I didn't finish.
Right.
And he don't have no cheese on his plate. Yeah, all of us actually made the time, per se, except for Jeff. And
with
Jeff
the cheese.
Jeff didn't have the cheese. So.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure that was a tough decision to keep that out about Dylan, because people may have felt differently about that, and maybe that's why he might feel slighted in that, you know, here he was ready to present 6 on 1 plate and then was able
right.
to recoup himself and present the 4 that was necessary, because you've got 1 for the food guy to fluff and then 3 for the judges to taste. How did you feel about your judges? Were you intimidated by the 2 restaurateurs at all?
When we met the judges their first time on set, they told us who David was, and I was like, well, I've worked in New Orleans before. I know of him, but didn't really know him. And then Jason Sanford, a local food blogger, I'm like, he's just a food guy. He's a foodie. No big deal. And then they were like Elizabeth Carmel, and I'm like, oh, crap. I'm like, please don't let there be any barbecue whatsoever on this episode.
Yeah,
because
I'm kind
I knew
of surprised
she,
they didn't.
Yeah, and I knew who she was with, you know, being, you know, her own in her own places in, down in Texas and everything. And she's got a couple different websites and food blogs and everything like that. So I knew who she was from a barbecue standpoint.
Right.
And I'm like, you know, I've got to be at the top of my game for her. So,
well, I guess their version of barbecue and grilling was your second round when you had guinea fowl, and I'm sure you all really, you know, at least you got the whiter one and not the dark one, because they look bizarre if you haven't seen one of them. But so we're on to the second round. Dylan walks. He goes down in flames. You're on to the second round, and you've got Scumper. Shoot,
Scumpernon.
I forgot the name of him. Scumpernon.
Yeah, Scumpernon. Yeah. They had to pronounce it like 4 or 5 times for us so we could actually figure out how to act. Everybody's like, Scupper what? Scupper huh? And they're like, Scupper Nong. and we're like scupper names, and I mean, we're just playing around with it, having fun, and the producer's like, really, guys? Come on, we gotta get serious.
Oh, wait, so I have to ask you something major on this one, and I'll ask Tiny the same thing, but, you know, and I'm not beating up on Jeff because I think he was a great competitor, but he broke the bottle. Did the food guy go crazy about that? Because I'm surprised they didn't make him strain it or something, because the food guy, I can't think of his name, but that was the safety guru.
Yeah.
He was all over the place and amazing.
I don't remember them saying anything about him popping that bottle. I mean, Tiny was more near him than I was. They could have said something to him, but I know they didn't say nothing to us about it, and I don't remember them stopping and making him strain it or anything like that.
See, I figured when I saw that, what they would have cut out, and it's too bad. That's the kind of stuff you'd love to see, that those two boys that were the food safety guys, they were amazing. And, I mean, any time, because people can't see that we have these sterilized buckets on the ground, so they're probably thinking,
right,
oh, my God, they just touched that, and then they touched something else. Well, I mean, I was always bending down and sterilizing my hands, but you know, I could see him and his other buddy swarming on to Jeff to look to see if there was any slivers or anything. That's what I was like. I figured they made a big deal out of it.
Yeah, they edited that second round majorly, majorly, majorly. Because in the second round, I go to move one of the hot grill grates on the charcoal side, and I actually dropped the grill grate on the ground. And you don't see that at all. And then for the commercial, you see it, but for actually during the thing, you don't see it. The beer that they gave us to use, we're all taking swigs of beer through it.
Oh, yeah, I saw that in the commercial.
And then on the commercial, well, at the end, Elizabeth says, Will's hands are shaking so much, and
yeah.
Jason blogs in as, well, it's $10,000, and da-da-da-da-da, and it would have been great for TV for me to do this, you know, for them to have it on there. I mean, I take the beer that's left, and I just slam it, and then slam it down onto the table. But you see it in the commercial, but you don't see it on the real show. And I was like, oh, man, come on, really? I'm like, that would have been fun.
Well, you know what, though, that is really good, and I said this with Sherry last week, and after watching your episode, you know, my fiance is like, well, what if they make you look stupid? I don't think they want anybody to look stupid. They want
everybody to look
good.
Yeah. And I think they did a great, phenomenal first episode job of getting the highlights and making it fun and making it interesting at the same time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Let me think. Overall, your experience, I mean, what do you think?
If I had the chance to do it all over again, I would, in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I mean, the judges deliberated between the second and third round for at least, you know, a good hour about who to send home.
Oh, really?
And when they said that I was getting cut, it was like, I mean, it's a stab in your chest. I mean, it's the most nervous I've ever been in my life. You're standing
she loved
in front
your scupper dog. She loved your scupper dog, didn't she?
Yeah, the grapes.
Yeah.
I just call them the grapes now.
Well, with the beer, I'm sure they were really good. And they were probably plumped up almost to explode, weren't they?
Right, they were. I mean,
yeah,
they were good almost 2 inches round after they had sat there and steamed in the steam packet and everything. And, I mean, they just soaked up that infusion.
Yeah, that's cool. Let me ask you, because this was something that my fiance pointed out, was when David said your guinea fowl was scorched, did you have to turn in a piece that was scorched, or did you actually, you know, was it only the half that was pretty good, or did you have to take the skin off part of it? What happened there? Because we really couldn't see their food that they were cutting for the scorched part of it.
Well, what happened? I cut that guinea fowl into two pieces, right down
mm-hmm.
the half, and I scorched the outside of one of them.
Right.
And the undersize was still good. So what I did was I took the one part off the scorched piece that was still good, and then I cut the other two pieces and trimmed it all down into four different pieces and then put the barbecue glaze on it. And I think, personally, they still had it in their head that they seen that scorched piece.
Yeah.
And it was like, but he scorched his meat. So.
Yeah, and you know, at that level and at that time, they're probably looking for just about anything, you know, to send, to make the decision to send somebody home, because I don't think they take it lightly either, do you?
No, not at all, not at all. Yeah. I mean, you're fighting for, I mean, it was a 1 in 3 chance of 10 grand.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're down to the wire and you've got 10 grand hanging over your head, it's like they're going to be very meticulous of what you turn in.
I don't know if I asked you this, but I did ask Jeff the other day when I chatted with him. Did you know going into the competition that it was 10 grand per episode, or did you think it was a racketing one where we moved on to another location?
When I first got to the hotel the day before to start all the interviews and everything, that's when I was told, I was talking to one of the assistant producers saying, you know, do we move on or something like that? And they're like, oh, no, this is, you know, it's a 10 grand game on one day thing.
Yeah.
We're going to shoot it all day tomorrow, and whoever wins tomorrow night, you know, is $10,000 richer.
Yeah. We didn't, not one of us knew. So it wasn't till we went in to sign our paperwork that we all realized, and then it was like, whoa, you know.
Yeah, and the mood changed really, really quick.
I won't even begin to tell you my comment. So, yeah, the mood changed really quick.
It was like game on.
Yeah, game on. And like you said, you know, I did notice in the show your hands were shaking. But at that point, even though you're calm and you're cooking, you had to feel some pressure.
Oh, yeah, you do. I mean, and that's when it really soaked in that – when I started plating, that, you know, I could be battling for $10,000 in the next round.
Yeah.
You know, I could, in a couple hours from now, I could be walking away with 10K in my pocket, so to speak.
Before I put Tiny on here for you guys just to say hey and leave you with a couple of things, they really liked your barbecue sauce that you used on the guinea fowl. I think that's was a nice compliment you got there, too.
Right. Yeah, and trying to do a barbecue sauce on a grill within 15 minutes, that was I was kind of pushing that. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, please don't let it be bad. Please don't let it be bad. Please don't let it be bitter.
Yeah, they seem to really enjoy it. And the other question I had for you is, what did you think about in that first round where you guys were only to use gas?
Oh, I hated it. I can't stand I can't stand working with gas. I can't. When it comes to grilling or anything like that, it's either pellets or charcoal or wood. And they were like, you can use gas only. And I was like, really? I'm like, who uses gas to grill?
Come on,
and
man.
I thought,
say the majority of people at home probably use gas.
And then I thought about it, and I'm like, well, if you go to Lowe's or Walmart or anything like that, it's all gas grills.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unusual. Now, you said pellets. What kind of, do you have a pellet cooker?
I actually have a Traeger.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've got a Traeger that I use in competition, along with a Oklahoma Joe's offset.
Oh, okay. And the Oklahoma Joe, that's a regular offset, not a reverse flow, right?
Yeah, that's just a regular offset.
Regular offset. That's an older piece of equipment, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. People love those and wish that they would come out and redo them the way they used to be, because it was a pretty nice little grill.
Oh yeah, I've gotten some good awards from competitions just for using that grill. That's my chicken grill per se.
Do you have any competitions coming up, Will?
This month, no, in July. I don't. I have a kind of like a charity gig at the end of the month with the Chattanooga Zoo, where it's going to be called the Q and Brew, and I'll be battling against 10 different restaurants, barbecue restaurants here in town in Chattanooga. and it's just a little one-day fun thing. And then in August, end of August, I'll be probably either at Kennesaw Pigs and Peaches or Music City, Nashville, one of the two.
Oh, great, great, great. The Chattanooga Zoo is beautiful, so I know you're earning money for that, and that'll be a great event. Let me just get Tiny on here. Tiny, are you there? I'm trying to get Tiny on here. Okay. It doesn't want him to talk. We're going to try it. Here we go. It's, okay, Tiny, are you there? Eight, four, five. Tiny, is that you? Okay, well, we have somebody else on the air then. That the 845 number, did you have a question for Will? Okay, we might have lost them or they might have stepped out, so I'm going to put them back on hold. Anything you want to leave us with, Will? How has everything changed for you since the show actually happened?
Since the show's happened, I mean, it's especially since last week when it debuted, I've had, you know, certain, I've got some things in the fire, you know, obviously that I can't say about, but, you know, with other shows. But around here in Chattanooga, I've gotten a lot more catering exposure,
That's
so to
great.
Speak, and I've got a chance that, you know, where it might be, we might have a food truck involved here in the next couple weeks as well.
Wow. So
yeah.
Things are happening. It's amazing the exposure, what it does for you. I'm going to just try one more time. 845. Is that you, Tiny? If you can hear me and you're that 845 number, why don't you hang up and try and call back in, because there may be something wrong with the studio, if you can hear me. Sorry about that, Will. And if not,
okay.
I'm gonna go find Tiny's number so I can call him in a few minutes. Now, Jeff had told me, and I saw a post on the American Grilled page, that you guys were actually told not to contact each other.
Yeah, technically we weren't supposed to contact each other until the show aired. But one of the producers said, well, you know, if you kind of sort of bump into each other at the supermarket, you know, there's nothing we can do about that, so to speak.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there isn't anything that they could do about that. That's kind of interesting. Did they tell you why they wanted it to be that way?
They wanted it to be, at the time, they wanted everything to be really hush-hush, because they were telling us that since we were the first episode, it was for Travel Channel, but they didn't know this. It had been picked up, you know, it was our understanding that it didn't know if, even if it was going to air or not at the time.
Right,
and
because
still
you actually were called Grilled. That's what the sticker said, right?
Yeah, we were actually, at the time it was going to be called Grilled. And
okay.
Then we, about 4 months later, we get this email saying it's now going to be called American Grilled.
Okay, and you guys actually didn't have the American Grilled aprons that I'm guessing everybody else has had, or we had.
No, we didn't have any of the logos or anything.
Yeah, because when I first saw your commercial or the promo come out, and it was you guys, I said to Leon, I said, I'm guessing those. Oh, here's Tiny. Hang on a second. Hi, Tiny. Tiny? He's calling in my other phone and I can't hear him. Okay, we're going to have to probably call him. I don't know what happened. That I thought maybe they hired you four guys to actually, you know, be part of the show that way. So, you know, just to do the commercial. I didn't realize that you were actual competitors.
Right.
Yeah.
But we had
a
good time at it, and it was fun.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. And even though you were living there, just to let other people know, you actually – oh, he's – call him. you actually stayed in a hotel there, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to unfortunately cut you off, but I'm going to have to call Tiny. I have a note here to call him, so I'm going to actually call him from the switchboard, and I'm going to thank you for being on. You've been a big supporter of the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, you're doing a great job helping promote it, and I know they appreciate it.
Right. And it was a
blast.
All
right, well, listen, good luck, and keep us posted on what's going on with you, okay?
Sure, no problem.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks. Mm-hmm.
All right, congratulations. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, so we're going to actually go in here, and this is where, Tiny, if you can hear me, I'm going to call you, but I got to look up your phone number here again. Every once in a while, it happens where people can't call in for some reason. And generally, we don't have any problem getting to them. Okay, so let's see if we can get Tiny. Oh, wait.
The number you have dialed has been disconnected or is no longer in service. Please check the number and dial again.
Okay, we'll check the number and dial again. Okay, we're trying it again. See, this is what happens, folks, in live radio or live internet anything. And after my day with computer hell, this is kind of what I expected. So let's see what the next call.
You have reached the Sprint voicemail box of 919-264-5088.
Tiny, if you're out there,
pound for more options.
Okay, we're going to have to get rid of that. All right, so as I try to wait for Tiny to call in, and he is trying to, something's going on where he can't. Yeah, see, I've got the right number. If you're on the phone, Tiny, hang up, buddy, so I can call you. Anyway, we're going to try this one more time here. Oops. And then we'll just have to hope. There he is. Tiny, are you? Wait.
Yeah, the first number wasn't working.
Oh, there he is. How are you, Tiny?
I'm doing quite well. Can you hear me?
I can hear you beautifully. You're okay now? I'm sorry. You know, every once in a while, Tuesday night's a big night on Blog Talk Radio, and I think they overload it, and every once in a while we have problems with connections, but I'm sorry that's happened to you.
No problem at all. Well, I had some assistance from Jeff, and I was able to get through to you.
Okay, cool beans. So we just got off the phone with Will, and I kind of want to go back through briefly on your take of the other, you know, the different levels. On the starter, you guys had the bison and the Ellington goat cheese. You were real comfortable with the meat.
Well, for my birthday, I've always cooked different types of meat. So my birthday is July the 13th, and so I had just cooked bison on July the 13th of that year. It wasn't fresh bison like we had on the show. Mine was frozen, but I had just cooked a bison steak, so I was familiar with it, so it didn't, like, throw me off shock at all.
Yeah, and you're a meat cooker anyway, so, you know, meat is meat. You can tell it's leaner. You guys all seem to do a pretty good job with the bison, and they seem to be real happy with it. But what'd you think about the cheese?
I didn't like the taste of the cheese. I wouldn't have paired the cheese with anything with the meal. It probably would have been, like, bison would have been separate with the cheese if I'd have been doing something like what. I think Will was the one that did the herb cheese. Was that on the first round he did it on?
Yes, it was.
Now, I thought that was a good idea to go,
right,
you know. Exactly. So that worked out real well, and I just could think of the toast points and just melting it, because each round I had to do something different because my first thought would always have to be changed because something would happen. Like my vegetables fell in the grill grate. So
I forgot that.
So, yeah, I had to change up my previous thought to something else. So I had to make a salad.
Yeah, because you actually had started grilling and you were losing stuff in the grill, right?
Exactly. That's because I'm not a person that uses a lot of tools. So, and I'm like Jeff in the aspect that I don't do too much grilling of vegetables. So vegetables are one of those things that is a shocker, you know, to me. You know, I know how to cook stuff, but it's not one of those things I'm just, like, so familiar with. But like,
right.
Like, the stone that Jeff had is just awesome.
Right. Now, because I was so traumatized about not getting you in right away, let me just say that you are a pitmaster caterer in your area, and you actually live in the Raleigh area, correct?
Yes, I live in the Raleigh area.
Okay. And you also do some classes on grilling and so forth, don't you?
Yes. Michael McDermott is one of my heroes, one of my barbecue guys.
Uh-huh.
And so I look at his page a lot, and I saw that he was doing classes, and I was like, yo, I got the personality for classes. So I have a lot of friends here, and I just spoke to a couple of my friends, and they got their wives to come up with meats and dishes that they wanted to cook on the grill. I let you come up with the menu, your friends pick it, and I just come in and I show you guys how to cook it on the grill.
Oh, that's an interesting way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you pick the menu, you and your friends, you get together so everybody's comfortable with everybody. It's not like one of those classes you come in. Like for people that really want to learn more, I teach a lot of novices, people that don't know anything about a grill. I teach you how to overcome a lot of your fears that you might have on the grill.
Right. Well, that's great. Wow. Okay, so we get through the first one, and we really kind of talk pretty heavily with Will, and you know that you're moving on to the second round. Had you cooked guinea before? Because I kind of forget. You didn't, did you?
No, ma'am. But my wife, this is a funny story. My wife had made fun of me that summer. This is the ironic part about this particular grilling show we just had. Everything that I did was something that I had done that summer already. I did not know how to break down a chicken. And my wife thought, as a Southern man, it was the most ridiculous thing in the world that I couldn't break down a chicken. You know, she would say, go in there and let's fry some chicken. And I'd be like, well, you break it down and I'll season it and fry it. And she was like, you stupid. Go break the chicken down. So YouTube is my friend. So I got to YouTube and I learned how to break a chicken down. So once I learned how to break one down, we went to our local meat market up the street, bought a case of chicken, and I broke the whole case of chicken down. So when I saw the guinea fowl, it was just poultry. Let's break it down, season it, and grill it. That was all I had to do.
No, you know what? That's funny. And you did a great thing by getting a case of it, because for somebody who has not handled it or have ever really broken it down, that's a great way to do it. And it paid off, didn't it? That's pretty funny.
Well, my belief about life and anything is practice makes perfect. And the more you practice, the better you become in something, the more familiar you become in something. So my wife said, cut down a whole chicken. I looked at all my videos, and I just went in. And I actually have this thing about being proficient in strokes. So I'm up to like 12 or 13 strokes cutting a chicken.
Oh.
I can count my strokes. Yeah, so that's it's just one of those things in life. I believe that you should, if you're doing something, you should be proficient at it. And so that's one of the things that I'm trying my best to be.
Well, good. Now, let me ask you, do you only use a knife on breaking down a chicken, or do you also use the shears?
No shears.
I'm a fan of the shares.
Well, the thing is, I didn't know everything that I do a lot nowadays with cooking is I learn it from videos.
Right.
I'll get 8 or 9 different people that I like, look at their videos, memorize them, pick the things out that I like about each one of those people, and go with it. There's a Greek guy on YouTube who plays a harmonica, who breaks down a chicken with a boning knife, and he has this little accent. I'm not going to do his accent, but he says, you only need this knife to break down this chicken, and that's all you ever need. So I got my chicken knife. I'll use my chicken knife, and I'll break my chicken down with my chicken knife.
All right. And that's all you ever
need. That's what I did. Yeah, and what was it? The CIA instructor was the one that told me about being proficient with your strokes. Make sure you don't waste your strokes. Utilize your strokes. So, yeah,
because
I got a lot of people that I listen to that made me who I am. So, yeah, I'm a big big jambalaya pot of tiny.
A big jambalaya pot of tiny. You know, saying
yeah,
that pot thing, did you see the paella pot that Jeff posted on Facebook?
Yeah, well, I tell you, Jeff's my man. He knows a lot about meat. He knows how to season meat. I'm just a great griller that caught my stride, you know, because if Jeff would have caught his stride before me, I'd have lost that thing. But I caught my stride, and I was able to get out, come out with a victory. But I'm here to let you know, Jeff knows a lot about meat, how to season meat. You know, I'm here to let you know I'm his Facebook friend from here to the end.
Yeah, no, and, you know, it's really cool that you guys have all been able to have a chance to get together. As a matter of fact, Jeff was very supportive and said, you know, when he wasn't going to be on the show, he goes, please make sure you have Tiny on the show and, you know, help promote him. And, I mean, he's a big fan of yours. So and it was right as I was sending you an email and stuff, but he was very insistent on making sure that you got out there and started promoting yourself. Now, I'm going to skip to the Monster Mains, which is the last round. Were you surprised to see another piece of beef, basically?
Yeah. I thought it was going to be pork. We thought it was going to be pork, maybe a pork chop, something bone in, you know, something like that. But that's what they came up with. It was a thick cut of meat. So that's why I did it more of an indirect heat. And that's why my fat, I had to actually put it over into the coals itself and help render it down a little bit to get a little bit more char on it, because I didn't have as much char toward the end at the 50 minutes that I wanted on it.
Yeah, and, you know, that was a beautiful shot that they had of you doing that, because we all know we've done the same thing, and sometimes just putting it down in the fire or tapping it up against the burning coals, I mean, that was really a great shot. I think anybody that cooks outside knows that we're all going to do that once in a while, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, it renders down. Well, I tell you, we hopefully we don't have to do it as much, but because I was up under a time limit, it was one of those little tricks I had to pull out of my bag at the time.
Yeah, no, that was a great shot. And I thought you were masterful on the red kale. Why don't you talk a little bit about what you did there? You actually did exactly what I would have done.
Oh, well, I worked in restaurants before, and kale was more of a garnish, more of a salad. And so because my idea was Sunday dinner, a garnish isn't anything that we do on Sunday. There's nothing left on my plate after Sunday dinner. So a garnish isn't something that I would think of. So the next thing that pops in my head is, boom, greens. Let's cook them down. I got a pantry full of stuff to make great-tasting wings. So that's what I'm going to do. I mean, I said wings. That's a great-tasting greens. So I just did that, and I tasted a little much, and it had so much flavor in it, so I immediately knew that I was going to put it over there and help the greens get as much flavor, because I looked at the show Chopped before, and it's all about combining all the ingredients and making all the ingredients taste well together. So
yeah,
that's what I try to do.
Yeah, and actually that was great, especially because you and Jeff both were not big fans of the fiber. So you did a great job with that. I do want to go back because I forgot to mention in the appetizer round or the starter round, I got a chuckle out of the journalist, and I forgot his name, that said to you that he thought it was a big plate, but you answered him wonderfully.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm a good Southern boy, and, you know, we don't make appetizers. You know, if you, you know, matter of fact, you know, our first meals are normally a hamburger and a hot dog, and then we make a plate of food. So for them to want me to eat a salad, and, you know, I start out trying to make this crudité cheese dish, and everything fails, so let's make a salad dressing, make a salad, make toast points, melt the cheese on it, and make a salad dressing, and put it all over the top. Now, I'm not going to eat a small salad, you know, because if I didn't eat my meal, I can always come back and eat it an hour or two later, but I'm going to eat right the first time. You know, ain't no playing around with the food, you know. So, yeah, let's eat.
Yeah, exactly. No, I got a chuckle out of that, and your answer was fun. Your peaches looked beautiful. I mean, I think everybody that grills loves grilled peaches, but you actually, did you scorch or burn your caramel sauce?
Yeah. And the thing was, I don't know, my wife showed that scene to me. If you see me walking up toward a grill, I'm sniffing because I smelt it on the other side of when I was on the other side of the prep table, because that's how I cook with my senses.
Yeah.
And so I had melted already, so I knew that it was already burning up on me.
So here they're looking at both of your plates, and both your plates are very nice. You know, Jeff had a great presentation. They thought he had a little bit too much stuff that was going on there. You know, David had already said he loved rare meat, so, you know, what are you thinking as you're standing there getting ready for the announcement?
I really don't know about what's going on because I'm still wrapped up in the fact that I messed up. I think I've messed up so bad that I've lost. So I guess the culmination of the three rounds, you know, the 50 minutes, the 40 minutes, the 30 minutes, the stress of the whole event, you know, just trying to put my whole heart into it as best as I possibly could, you know. So it was a deep moment for me. It was a moment of reflection, trying to see everything that I did each round. So I didn't know what was going to happen because I was just shocked to get through each round, you know. So as I got through each round, I was just becoming more and more happy, more comfortable, more in tune into what I was doing. So it's over. So it's up to the judges. And I know Jeff is no joke. So what's the outcome? And then they tell me I won. So I get to bring my wife home $10,000. So I do not know how to act. I'm still ecstatic. And the thing was, I didn't let anybody celebrate until July the 2nd.
Oh, yeah.
We forgot about it. I came home, and I told the people that need to be told, and we shut up. We forgot all about it. Everybody forgot totally about it.
Wow. Well, you guys did a great show, and you said when Mama's happy, everybody's happy. I mean, that's obviously a great payday to take home. And here's the real question. How has your life changed just since the episode?
Yeah, it was great.
How's your life changed since the episode?
My wife hasn't really changed too much.
Not your wife. How's your life?
Oh, my life. Well, I got job interviews. Well, my wife's not changed, but my life has. my life, I have job interviews that I didn't have before. I have people speaking to me that I did not know before, and I've actually signed 3 autographs that I've never done before in my life. So I didn't know if I should write Tiny or should I write Sean as my autograph. So, yeah, it's one of the things I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do.
Now, when you say job interviews, are you talking about catering events that you've gone to chat with people about?
Catering events, the whole nine. I'm trying to put my life into 3 C's. I plan on to do classes. I plan on doing catering, and I plan on doing competitions.
Okay.
So that's what I'm gearing my life up to, be a full-fledged grill guy, doing everything I possibly can to show everybody the passion that I got for grilling and how it helped me win that particular American Grill show.
Well, so, you know, the funny thing is, I know you said that you hadn't done a competition for, so you're basically hooked is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, it's, well, you know, you win. You can't be anything but hooked. Let's do it again. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's kind of hard not to be hooked if you win.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know you have probably got a million friend requests on Facebook for your catering business, because you're kind of a part-time caterer until last week, aren't you?
Well, I've always catered part-time backyard events, and I've done some events for local companies, and the local barbecue supply base here in Raleigh, Grill Billy's Barbecue off of Durant Road, is going to allow me to come in and do some catering classes and, some cooking classes and see what I can get to come from that.
Oh, nice. Do you have one scheduled yet?
No, we're getting everything in line right now, but hopefully I can get a class before the end of July.
Yeah, that'll be amazing. And they're there in Raleigh, you said?
Yeah, Raleigh, North Carolina.
That's great. It'll be close to home, and you'll be teaching people your love, so that'll be cool.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. And if somebody came along and said, hey, you want to do another show, I guess you're in, huh?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I'm ready. matter of fact, you know, I'm putting it out right now just so everybody knows. I'm trying to go against Bobby Flay by the end of the year, so I'm putting my studying in the whole nine. So Bobby, you're out there, Tiny Townsend wants to go against you in the grill, because that's how he began it. He got his start on the grill. So let's do it.
Yeah, that's good. You do know that the people that filmed us film beat Bobby Flay.
Excuse me?
The people who filmed us film beat Bobby Flay.
Did they?
They do. They're the
oh,
ones.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. So
you
know who you can call, because, that's the cool thing. They have a lot of contacts there, and it doesn't even have to be a throwdown anymore. You can actually go in to beat Bobby Flay on his own
show
like that. Yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah, I could go into Bobby's kitchen and beat him in his own kitchen. How great would that be? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're definitely hooked. We'll have to calm you down.
Hey, well, look, you know, my thing is, if I don't have the attitude I can beat him, I'll never beat him. And
absolutely.
Jeff Bannister was the one that taught me that.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, Jeff was the one that gave me the warrior mentality. We fight the Taliban, you know.
That was kind of a funny statement. You know, he wasn't just fighting you. It's like he's fighting the Taliban.
Well, I'm here to let you know. Jeff came to win.
Yeah. Well,
yes, he did.
I think, you know, everybody put their game faces on. You guys had a great episode. I'm sure you're thrilled.
Oh, yeah, great time.
Yeah, and it looked great. You guys all did a really good job. Anything you want to leave us with? Anything else that's going on and that you want to share with us?
No, nothing much going on. Nothing that I can actually reveal right now.
Okay.
But other than the fact that I had a great time, I'd like to say thank you, Dylan, Will, and Jeff, for a great competition. And hopefully I can see those gentlemen later on down the road, and we can get together and compete or grill or do whatever. And if anybody's out there, hey, look, Tiny loves to grill. Let's grill together sometime.
Well, Tiny, congratulations to you. You're a gentle giant that we enjoyed watching, and I look forward to seeing you out on the circuit sometime.
Most definitely. I greatly appreciate you for having me on your show this evening, Lori.
Okay, Tiny. Take care, and thanks a lot, and keep us posted, okay?
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks a lot. Okay, guys, that's Tiny Townsend, and he was the Pitmaster Ashland, the first winner of American Grill last week. So congratulations to him. I'm sure that big $10,000 check was a nice little addition to his household. Anyway, we're going to our last guest of the evening. Are you there, Jim?
Hi, Lori. I'm here.
Okay, so we've got Jim Elzer here, owner and founder of Sweet Smoke Q. Now that you have this gigantic building, how much fun are you having?
Oh, I'm having a blast. Actually, I haven't had much time to, you know, go over there and do things. Just been busy with other things, and actually had a weekend off. This weekend's competition was kind of nice, and it's kind of weird being home for a weekend. So I was kind of didn't know what to do with myself, really. But spent a little time over there, you know, working on some some juice can smokers and some temperature controllers to get caught up on orders. You know, we just got behind a little bit on that, and just didn't have the room. And with all the other crazy stuff going on in my life, that just not enough hours in the day. So we're slowly getting caught up on those. And you know, that new facility is definitely a blessing to give me more room and, a lot more room to, do what I'm doing now and, growth in the future. So I'm pretty happy,
because
you
don't have to stop what you're doing and put things away. It's your place. If you're in the middle of a juice can, it's not like you have to stop and put it up because it's going to rain. You have your own building and it gets to stay there. Now, you leave your trailer in that facility, right?
Not right now, but it's eventually, it was big enough to put my trailer in there. Right now it's hanging out my house right now, just hanging out there. So it's I got things all scattered all over, I think. So,
but you're coming together.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's exciting. And you know, it obviously leads to the next question that everybody asks. When is the beef juice going to be out?
Rumor has it it's supposed to be produced this week. So fingers crossed that we'll get it produced this week. I've had a lot of people asking when it's coming out, why is it taking this long? And it's when you go to a large-scale production of a product, I was making it for the last year, in my kitchen, just about a gallon or 2 gallons at the most here, and when you're going to a large scale production at 100 gallon batches, it takes a little bit a different process of different things. It's just not throwing a bunch of ingredients in it and heating it up and bottle it. There's a process of what needs to go in at what time, things need to be cool, and then certain ingredients need to go in after. So it's just, like I said, it's just not throwing a bunch of stuff in there and putting them in the bottle. So there's a little bit of a process to it.
And this is not going to just be a concentrate like the pork injection. This is a heavy-duty concentrate, isn't it?
Yeah, this is going to be ultra-concentrate. It's, the pork juice. I got to distinguish them now since I got pork on beef. The pork juice is, basically one part concentrate to two parts liquid apple juice, fruit, any fruit juice or water, whatever you want to use. And the beef is going to be a one part concentrate to four parts of liquid. We had to get it down the my main thing was I wanted to put it in a plastic bottle. It's plastic is easier to ship. I don't have to worry about breaking.
Right.
So. With and you can't hot fill this type of plastic bottle. So what we had to do is, and this was another thing we had to figure out, is this beef juice does not have the amount of vinegar or the acidity in the product. So we had to, I'm like, how am I going to do this? So I reduced some of the water, some other liquids. Mainly it's just I reduced the water, and then I got the pH down a little bit, and then we had to add, another ingredient to get the pH down so that this other ingredient didn't affect anything with the product. It just lowered the pH for
the bottling.
Shelves. Yes.
Yeah. So shelf life and safety, right?
Yes. Yeah, we don't want to be producing something and you know, spoiling it or whatever. So, you know, Matt Barber, Hot with Chewers, you know, he does a fine job at that kind of stuff. So that's where he's really good at that. You know, he's been doing this for a long time, and he knows what it needs to be. And so I don't have to worry about that. He just
right.
Says, you know, we need to get down here. Here's the option. Here's the ingredients you can put in there. I tried that, and it didn't. You know, and I've been running this recipe for probably it's been months and months and months. So it's been doing very well for me and other teams. Other teams have been winning with it, you know, first place. So I'm real, you know, I've been real happy with it from, you know, the whole year since I've really used it at every contest. And the response, you know, the testers that I've had, you know, different testers and things out there, I don't think there was, maybe in the beginning there was, we ran into a little thing, which was not a major thing, but I don't, you know, everybody was real happy with it. And I asked the question, you know, do you like this about it? Should I do this? Should I thicken it up? Do you like this? And the response was, you know, they liked what I give them, what I was producing
right
at that time. So,
yeah, even with the little problem, the flavor and the meat itself was amazing. So, you know, I don't think there's anybody that didn't like the product at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, they'd like the flavor. It doesn't have that chemical, you know, that chemical flavor. And you can open a bottle and take a drink of it, and it's going to be pretty potent, but it's not going to be, you know, that chemical, you know, the chemical flavor, the smell. You know, I want to try to, just want to try to stay away from that kind of stuff. And, you know, what I come up with, so I'm real happy with the outcome. I mean, I can't be any happier. So
and
it's on its way. I think it's going to fly off the shelf, and we're actually waiting on some labels right now. So it's almost there. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel here. So hopefully in the next week or two we'll be ready to ship it to wherever,
so
across the country or whatever,
If it doesn't make it to Live Oak in your truck, are you going to have it available for your class then, you probably think?
Oh, yeah. It will be done by then, I would say by end of next week. Whether it's ready for shipping, you know, for, you know, labels, that's the question. But I go to Live Oak, I'll have it there. But with my class in a couple weeks, you know, I'll be using it there, having it there. So the thing that was going to prevent me from, you know, putting it on the website or, you know, sending it to the other people that sell it is the label. I want to make sure that, you know, I got the right label on there so we can, you know, it's not, I'm not, you know, half-assed it.
Right. No,
so,
I know you're
I just,
not.
You know, and I could have, you know, put it out there, you know, months ago. I wanted to make sure that this, I was happy with it. You know, we've talked before, I've talked to a lot of people. I don't want to put a product out there, especially with my name on it, and that I'm not going to be happy with, or, you know, somebody that's using it, not going to be happy with. I want to make sure that, and I'm not saying everybody's going to be happy with this product, you know, but I'm not going to put my name on something that I'm not happy with.
Right.
So.
Well, and like you and I talked about, the main educational thing is you're talking 4-1. You know, people will go, that just doesn't feel right, you know, which so many people do with ultra concentrates. And it's going to be real important that people do the 4-to-1 or they're going to maybe have mushy meat.
Yeah, and I've played around with different strengths of it. And, yeah, if you know, when I've tested it with, I took Wagyu, so I actually mix it 4-to-1. So if you're cooking with a CAB and you want a little more, you know, intense flavor, I tend to take a little bit of the water out of it when I mix it. Maybe mix it, you know, 3, 3.5 to 1. So you can play around with that. And if you don't want that strong, this is meant for a marinade too. We did some tests. This is going into some specialty stores that. A lot of people, you know, your normal backyard, you know, your home backyard barbecuer, they're not, you're usually cooking brisket all the time. So
right. We
kind of developed as a beef marinade. So it works well as a, you know, marinade. You put steak in there, you marinate your steak. You don't have to inject it. So in all the, you know, the directions, if you want to use it as a marinade, it's on the bottle. So, you know, you follow the instructions on the bottle, it's pretty straightforward.
And I think that's going to be an extra selling advantage for you in that you guys took that into consideration, especially as popular, you know, the homeowner, of course, but even for the guys in competition, because steak competitions are becoming more popular. You know that if they have one at a contest, I mean, if they have one and I'm there, I'm doing steak too. So there's a lot of guys that do the same thing, and it'd be nice to have that base marinade, because the second we get steaks, we're trying to do a quick marinade on them, and that'll be amazing.
Right, And you know, you can take we tested it out with a steak. You don't have to have the best cut of steak to, you know, this will put, you know, it has some beef flavor in it. So it actually takes a mediocre steak and you know, bring it up, you know, kick it up a couple notches in the flavor and the moisture content. You know, it's got phosphates in there. And the phosphates are, you know, they're put in there for, you know, moisture retention.
Right.
So a lot of food product, you know, a lot of things have phosphates in it. You look at kind of, so it's not like this chemical that, you know, that we only use for competition. There's, you know, phosphates in a lot of different things.
Right. Now, as we're looking at some of the things that are coming up for you, you've got your class going on. Give us kind of an update on what's going on with your class.
We finalized the location last weekend. My facility is just not ready yet where I want to, you know, it just ain't going to be ready enough time for, you know, for this class. So it's going to be at the World RV Resort in Davenport, Florida.
Oh.
Over there in the intersection of I-4 and 27, so
Not
too far away from you know Winter Haven. So there's teams, you know, there's several teams in the area that are going, and there's several teams out of the area. So there's
good.
And if you want to bring your rig or your camper, you know, we got special rates for, you know, camping there at $22 a night. You know, that's full electric and hookup.
Nice.
There's a pool. It's a nice area, and we're going to have you know, and it's going to be an AC. They have a little a conference center there that we're going to do the class in. So I'm really looking forward to having that in a few weeks, on August 2nd and 3rd. So there's.
Do you still have spaces?
Yes, we have spaces. But if anybody's thinking about doing it, get a hold of me, because they're filling up pretty quick. We're pretty much over half full right now, and I've had a lot of responses. So anybody out there, and all the information's on my website, sweetsmokeletterq.com. There's a sign-up. Even if you want to put a deposit down, $100 deposit, and pay there, bring it there, you know, that's fine. So you don't have to come up with the money up front. So just get on the website, you know, put a deposit down. So you're, you know, if you really want to, you know, take this class, I don't want to be, you know, you'd be shut out just because, you know, we, you know, the demand is great. So don't procrastinate. So we're gonna.
Yeah.
I don't want to have a 50 people in there. I want to make it a small where I can kind of I don't want to have a lot of too many people there to. I just want to make it a nice good sized class.
Great. And what's the date on that again for people that might still be
interested? That's August. It's a Friday. It's a Saturday and a Sunday. August 2nd and 3rd. The class will start at 1 o'clock on Saturday. We're gonna and it'll end about 3 o'clock on Sunday. And we're gonna kind of follow a contest kind of format. We might switch some things up, where we don't have to wait on certain things. We might, switch if brisket's done. We might do that first. But I will go over, tell you all my timelines of what I do at a contest. So we don't have any of this, this dead space there. So
right.
So we'll be providing, some refreshments, snacks on both days. I'm sure there'll be a few pink drinks, and we'll be providing a good dinner on Saturday night, and then a good breakfast on Sunday morning, and then
great.
During Sunday, you'd be able to taste all the eat all the barbecue you want to eat.
And then on Sunday
we're going to inviting some certified judges. So we'll be doing this like a contest. We'll present it to them and they'll judge it, and then if the participants have any questions for the judges, what they're looking for, they can ask the judges. We'll be watching them and they can ask questions and the judges will give them feedback, what they're looking for. What we turned in, why they scored it a certain way. So, and we'll be doing the FDA format box in a KCPS. So we'll do the greenery box. So we'll do a few different types of boxes.
Great. Sounds like you've got everything all planned out. I thought it was odd when I went on the FBA site and your class wasn't there.
It's there right now. It went up today. So the link's there today. Just because I wasn't sure, the location. I wanted to have everything, set when I put it on there. But it was, should have had that done early, a little bit sooner, but, I just compete too much.
Well, when surgery? I mean, I think everybody in Florida knows that Jim's waiting on back surgery. I mentioned it last week.
It was supposed to be last week. The doctor and the insurance company, I don't think they knew how to communicate very well.
Yeah.
So at the last minute was pushed back, it's a go for tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to it.
I'm sure you are.
I've been in a little bit of pain, but nothing like I. This will be my third surgery for this, this procedure I'm having. So, and they're going to do a little bit different thing this time because there's something wrong with my vertebrae. So they're just going to fuse the two together, and hopefully that will eliminate the problem in the future. So it's not like I've been immobile or it's just been something that's been irritating me for the last few months that I need to get fixed. So.
Yeah, when you're walking like a little old man, and I know you're in your early 40s, it's definitely time to have something done. And while we're talking about that, the only reason I know you walk like a little old man is because I've seen you at the contest. You're still leading Team of the Year. Talk about your race because this is, as Matt Barber would say, it's yours to lose.
It is. And I was looking back, and he's been sneaking it up. A little bit here, a little bit there, and then when I do finish well or finish well, and it's a non-sanction or a different KCBS or a non-sanction, and kind of like 2 weeks ago,
right?
I got reserve,
and it didn't count.
Yeah, and even Matt at the end of the contest was like, "Oh yeah, I didn't do very well, but you," and he's stopped for a minute. Oh, this is a non-sanction. Like, yeah. So when I've been the last few months, I hit some contests, a few in a row, maybe two or three in a row that they weren't bad. I got a top five here and there. But overall, I think I had a 12th and a 13th overall, and Matt's, you know, getting third overall. So that's a big,
right.
you know, that's a big point swing. So, and it's, you know, since I have, you know, with my back and, you know, the feeling, because you have to be 100% and totally focused. And I wasn't totally focused, and it showed him with my cook.
Oh, yeah.
So, he's been sneaking up there, and you know, at one point, I think I was almost 70 points ahead. Now I'm only 39 points, and we're three contests left.
I was gonna say
39.
Yeah.
It only takes one contest, so it's gonna go down the wire again.
I would like it not to go to the same extent as last year, but yeah, I mean, it's gonna
be. It makes it exciting.
It does make it exciting. Team of the Year will be announced at Claremont. I know you're looking for it because basically we have three more contests before Claremont, right?
Right. We got a Live Oak in a couple weeks, Bainbridge, Georgia, and Panama City.
Yeah. And you are in for all of those, correct?
Yes. I barely got in the Panama City because I knew they were only taking 20 teams. And
yeah.
And we were at the Madeira Beach a couple weeks ago, and we were just sitting around somebody's trailer and talking about contests. And I'm like, oh, I don't even think I sent my application in. So I looked up the number right there and then and there, and I called them. I said, I don't think I've been to get any spots left. I said, yeah, we have two. I'm like, oh, thank God. So
yeah,
I was
wow.
the second to the last one to get in. And that had, you know, with I'm doing these contests every week, they just kind of run in to get to
yeah,
each other,
do.
And I don't know what I've sent in, and I've had to call organizers before and say, did I send my application in? It's kind of crazy because, you know, before I started doing contests every weekend, I could tell you where I was 2 weeks ago, this, that. I couldn't tell you where I was last week or where I'm going this week. They just run in together, but I mean, I'd rather have it that way. You know, that's what I like to do. So,
yeah, absolutely.
If I wasn't having fun or enjoy doing it, I wouldn't do it. But
time to move on.
I really enjoy it.
Yeah. Now, Madeira Beach, the contest up there or down there, beautiful location. You know, really, really hot. I mean, that was kind of brutal that it was so hot. But overall, how would you think of the contest?
Overall, I mean, you know, I liked it. We were in there like sardines.
We were
that didn't
like
bother
sardines.
Me. The thing that there was two things, which one of the things was the rain at the awards that was out of their control. But you know, they kind of, you know, they didn't. They knew everybody knew it was coming, so they kind of hauled around. And I don't know what the reason was. And we were out there, and if you're gonna have a contest in whatever month it is, June, you know, this is our rainy season down here. So have plans, okay? It typically rains in the afternoon, and there was no cover. There was nothing to have, you know, a wide-open stage in the awards ceremony. You know, they started and just call out names. Everybody heard the name.
Yeah.
I'm like, get up there. I don't even know what place I, you know, what, okay, chicken. Well, I got a call from chicken. I couldn't tell you if I got second place or 10th place.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
just,
the funny thing
crazy.
Is, yeah, that they called 10th place chicken. That was me. And then right about that time, it was like somebody was pissed off because all the thundering started. It was like they called me, and then it was chaos because did you ever get you got a 5th place in something and you had the wrong trophy? Do you ever get the right stuff?
I think I got that night after – it stopped raining, you know, we went back, and I think Gavin Harden, he went back.
Oh, that's
and
right.
He went and switched things, and it was, you know, one of the things that draws us into this thing we do, this barbecue we do, is the awards. You know, you like the, you know, the suspense of figuring out where you finish.
Right.
You know, that's half the battle, you know. And when you don't get that, you know, that enjoyment or, you know, did I get called or not, and it's just, you know, thrown up there, you kind of walk out of there like, okay, this was, you know, I had fun, but, you know, it was
Yeah, it's kind of like
you kind of left there, what just happened?
Yeah, yeah, kind of deflated because we really do enjoy that whole experience. The only thing I'll say about Madeira Beach is, and the guys are all volunteers. I'm probably going to talk to Alan tomorrow too about it. You know, for us that kind of hang together when we're there, we all had a really good time because we went out to dinner twice, which never happens. But, you know.
Yeah, it seemed like we were at that contest for like a week for some reason.
Yeah, you're right. It kind of did.
And maybe it was, you know, they had power issues too. They had a generator that would run a big city that I don't know what the problem was, and it was hot and rainy. And so other than that, you know, they were supposed to have it in a different location, and I think that next year, you know, they're having it at a different location. So I'm excited. It's right, you know, right near the water. So
yeah, we all like that. But that's the thing about the rain. The other competition at the same time, we were in conjunction with the boating people, let them get wet, you know, because they'd been wet all day and they were in bathing suits. We weren't. We had been sweating our butts off for 2 days. And, but you're right. We do enjoy cheering on the other gang. And at that one, Team Unknown won. Who got reserved? Rob?
Yes, Rob did.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know, walk out there, okay, who got what, you know, and the bad thing about, you know, Unknown, they got a perfect score of brisket, so they, you know, they just, okay, so they didn't even get to, you know, do that's something that doesn't happen very often.
That's huge.
And then, okay, perfect score of brisket, you know, Unknown, blah, blah, blah. All right, we're done, because rain, you know, coming down.
Yeah. That was something. Well, I'm going to see you in Live Oak. I'll be judging. And are you going to have an assistant to help you up there in 20?
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can get my son out of retirement to come help me out there. So we need to stay focused, you know, because I can't let Matt get any more points on me. So I'll be there. I'll be there. You know, it's said with this surgery I'm having tomorrow, been through it twice, and the last time I think I had surgery on a Tuesday, and I did a competition that same weekend. So,
wow,
shouldn't be that bad.
All right,
I'm tough as nails.
Yeah. Anything else that you want to leave us with or announce tonight?
Yeah. Back to class. The classes that it hasn't been announced yet, but just check my website and probably the FBA website. We're gonna do a backyard class. And I think the weekend after Labor Day in Venice, Florida. So we're going to do you know, four categories there, just kind of a one day, you know, backyard kind of thing.
Great.
So I was you know, the guys that put on the Venice contest contacted me and asked me if I would help them out doing that. So we'll be doing that. So I don't know the cost, but it'll be a low cost. You know, if anybody in the area that wants to just, you know. You know, we'll go through the four categories, and you know, it'll be a short version of, you know, I won't go real involved in, you know, what I do in a competition, but I'll be helping, you know, somebody out there that, you know, will take their backyard to a little bit, you know, better experience of, you know, towards the competition.
Yeah, great. And is that Sweet Smoke, it's on the website now or not?
No, it's not on the
website.
Okay. We're still finalizing some details.
Okay.
But you can probably mark the calendars the weekend right after Labor Day. I'm not sure of the dates.
And I don't have one handy, or I'd tell you.
Just keep an eye on that, you know, if anybody's interested in a backyard class. And, you know, foot teams too, you know. You said it'll be, you know, real affordable, probably around $100. And we'll go through all four meat categories, just kind of a quick way. We won't drag it out or go into every detail like, you know, the competition class. But that's something that if you can't make it to the competition class in August, there's, you know, there's one in September. So just
great.
Keep an eye out for that. And you always got to watch for knives in the sink. So
for what?
Just got to watch for knives in the sink. Just a little pointer out there.
All right, and I will tell you that we'll be thinking about you tomorrow. Probably try and give you a call on Thursday, see how you're doing. Are you going to take a couple days off work?
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody's concern and thoughts and prayers on Facebook. And, you know, you've got a wonderful barbecue family out there that, you know, just I'm glad that I can be part of this barbecue family. It's a great deal. You know, that's one of the things that keeps me coming back and, you know, doing these things. It's
absolutely
a lot of work, but, man, I met some real good people that I call friends for life. So,
yep.
And not least, I'd like to thank my I got some sponsors I'd like to shout out. Just Grilling in Tampa, they provide me you know, some wonderful products. You know, they've been really great to me. Great guys over there, Doug and Trevor, over at Just Grilling. So if you're in the area, that, you know, it's a gourmet grill store that they have.
Beautiful.
It's store. Like a, it's like you know, walk in there, it's like I'm like a big kid in a candy store. it's an awesome place. So if you're in the area, you know, look them up. They're on Facebook. I think their website is justgrillinflorida.com.
Yep.
So check them out. Also want to thank Dana Hill's Big Papa and Janet. They provide me some product that I use in competition. You know, they have some wonderful products that I've been using for a long time, and they're fortunate to you know, I'm fortunate to have them, you know, sponsor me and give me some of the products to use. The Barbecue Times. Audrey does a wonderful job. She does some marketing and, you know, helps me out with advertising in the Barbecue Times. So it's a great newspaper that, you know, check that out. And last is Hot Wachula's Gourmet Sauces. You know, Matt's been, you know, helping me out with my product, and I do use some of his products. He's got some great products out there.
Yes,
so
he does.
I do use some of him. So
I do.
Those, I'd like to thank those guys for you know, helping me out to get to where I am right now with this, you know, the team of the year race. And, you know, I just hope it doesn't come down, like I said, like last year, because I don't know if I can handle another, you know, few contests like that, because that's very stressful. So.
Yeah. Well, Jim,
it is, you know, whatever happens, you know, it's meant to be, so. It is what it is. So I just got to cook my best, and it's mine to lose.
Yep, it is yours to lose. And listen, thank you. You've been a great sponsor for me. I love your products. You know
it.
I do. And you know, my honey keeps saying, when are you getting some of that spicy sauce back from that guy?
Speaking of spicy sauce, I was shipping some stuff out today, and that spicy stuff I'm about out. I think that's selling more than the sweet. So this is really.
It's a great product, especially for at home. You know, it isn't something I use in the competitions because I use your sauce at the competition, the other sauce at the competition. But, you know, we love it at home. So he's like, when are you going to get some of that sauce, spicy stuff? But and of course, your juice can. You know, I love it. It does my ribs well, and I appreciate it and appreciate everything you do for me.
Well, I appreciate that, Lori. I think thank you for having me on, and I definitely appreciate everybody, you know, the support that knows helped me out there, you know, through the, you know, the 5 years I've been doing this. It's, like I said, it's a great family, and you know, everybody involved in this is just wonderful.
Well, you have a great night, and we'll be thinking about you tomorrow while you're in the hospital, honey.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thanks, Jimmers.
Bye.
Good night. All right. That's Jim Elzer, Sweet Smoke, the letter Q.com. You can check him out. And again, he's got a couple classes coming up. Want to thank him for being on, and also, like I said, being my sponsor. Also want to thank my other sponsors, Mac Smokers, RecTech Pellet Cookers, cookandpellets.com, Royal Oak. I use both the charcoal and the lump briquettes and the lump charcoal, and, of course, Pirate 50. Thanks to my guest tonight. Listen, folks, have a great weekend. Everybody will be thinking about Jim Elzer as he goes under the knife tomorrow, and hope you'll be with me next Tuesday at my regular scheduled time. There's no contest this week, so I'm doing Friday, and I hope everybody has a safe and happy weekend, and we'll see you soon. Don't forget to watch American Grilled tomorrow night. I look forward to having those folks on next week. Good night, guys, and, you know, it's all good in the barbecue hood. Good night, folks.